Star Reynolds Sports Desk, your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
All right, boys and girls, here we go. Headlines on a busy Tuesday afternoon right here on 950 KJR, brought to you by our friends at VenueKings.com.
The Vikings may never win a game in Seattle, Washington.
You need tickets for the Kraken coming up in a couple weeks, the home opener against Vancouver. VenueKings.com can set you up. Be sure and use code Softy at checkout for a little discount. How about some baseball scores? The Astros are on their way to the ALCS. They beat the White Sox 10-1 today. They'll face Boston now for the right to go to the World Series. The Brewers and Braves in Game 4 of the NLDS. Middle of the sixth inning, Atlanta and Milwaukee tied at 4. Braves win, and they are on their way to the NLCS to face the winner of the Giants and Dodgers. They'll play Game 4 of that series tonight in L.A. with the Giants leading 2-1.
Seahawks reportedly have released cornerback Trey Flowers at his request. They also worked out quarterback Blake Bortles and wide receiver Isaiah Zuber, and the Packers have added former Seahawk cornerback Quentin Dunbar to their practice squad.
What else we got? Last night in the NFL, with 10 minutes to go, the Colts led by 16 points, and they lost 31-25 because Lamar Jackson went 37-43, 442, and 4 touchdowns. And in response to John Gruden stepping down as the coach of the Raiders, the Buccaneers now have removed him from their Ring of Honor in Tampa Bay.
Nets GM Sean Marks has announced that Kyrie Irving will not play for the team until he is eligible to be a full-time participant.
Let's talk some college football with John Wilner right now, baby.
It's time for our weekly Pac-12 conversation with San Jose Mercury News reporter John Wilner. Brought to you by Simply Seattle. Our friends at SimplySeattle.com have the most amazing collection of all things Seattle. Seahawks gear, UW hats, and the largest selection of Sonics gear anywhere in the world. Learn more at SimplySeattle.com.
All right, we'll get to Aaron Levine. He's in Vegas. He'll join us at 6:05 from Fox 13. That's the new brand, right? Fox 13.
It's going to be hard for me.
I don't want to screw it up and have, like, you know, somebody come after me. So Aaron Levine will join us from Vegas at 6:05, getting ready for tonight's opener. But joining us right now on the radio show, courtesy of Simply Seattle, where you can buy Kraken gear and use code SOFTY10 for 10% off your entire order, by the way, at SimplySeattle.com. It's our friend John Wilner. John, how are you, pal?
I am good, thanks. How are you guys?
We are good. We're ready for some hockey tonight, the debut for the Kraken. Eventually, we'll get to San Jose, and we'll come down there and kick your ass, too. So get ready, because it's coming, baby. The Kraken storm is on the way to Northern California. But talk to us, first of all, what you can tell us about the Nick Rolovich situation in Pullman. I'm not even a Coug fan, and I'm sick and tired of this conversation. Is the end game near? Please tell me it is.
I believe it is. October 18th is the deadline. If he is not vaccinated and his request for a religious exemption is not granted, Washington State will begin the separation process, I believe. If his exemption request is granted, they could still fire him, but then it becomes a much more involved, muddier process. I would suspect by, you know, middle of next week at the latest, we'll have a pretty good idea whether he's going to be coach for the rest of the season or not.
Give us more of an explanation on the arbiter here. Talk about who is actually judging this. It's a blank sheet. They don't know that they're looking at Nick Rolovich's exemption application. And how often do these exemptions actually work, John?
Well, you know, the Seattle Times did a story a few weeks ago that said basically 3,500 people at that, as of early September, 3,500 people had requested through the state religious exemptions, and only 7 of them had had the exemption approved. Oof. And then accommodations made. So that's, you know, a very small number. Now, that's not Washington State. The Cougars basically have set up they've trained a panel of people to evaluate all of the requests for both medical and religious exemptions. Rolovich's name will not appear on his request. If it gets approved, then it goes to Human Resources. And then there's a second step, which is Athletic Director Pat Chun, obviously with President Kirk Schultz's heavy involvement, would have to basically decide if they think Rolovich can carry out his duties, unvaccinated. And those duties are not just coaching on the sideline in a mess, right? I mean, he's got to recruit. He's got to fundraise. He's got to represent the university in public. He's, you know, he's got youth football camps. There's a lot of things that go into being a football coach beyond just calling plays on the sideline or watching film in your office. So we'll see if the university, if it's approved, we'll see if the university feels like he can carry out his duties, keep the public safe, and function effectively.
June Jones, I don't think, really helped Rolovich's cause when he said, quote, he doesn't think he needs it. That really doesn't sound like a religious exemption from June Jones, the former head coach that Rolovich assisted with.
No, it doesn't. And I think that anybody with any common sense who's been following this since whatever it was, July 20th, when he made the announcement, anybody with any common sense knows he just didn't want to get a vaccine.
Right.
And he was just going to, until the mandate came in, he was just going to say, you know, philosophical opposition. And then the mandate comes down and he's got to file one way or the other, religious or medical, and he doesn't have a medical reason. So he went with the religion. But I mean, it's been clear to me from the start, he just doesn't want to get it.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's be honest with you. This religious exemption thing is nonsense from him. It's absolute crap. I mean, first of all, if this really was the deal from the start, why wouldn't he have said this months ago that it's a religious thing for him when he just let it sit out there and he was totally vague? Didn't give anybody any details about why he's not getting the shot. He just kept quiet about it and mumbled to himself. This religious exemption thing sounds like just a complete nonsensical, made-up excuse by Nick Rolovich. And I got to be honest with you. Is this guy an idiot? Honestly, I mean, you know him better than me. You've talked to him more often than I have. Is he just a moron? Because we do know that there are people in this world that aren't very smart. Is he one of them, John?
No, I don't think he is, but I think he has handled this as poorly as it could have possibly been handled.
Right.
And part of the reason is he was quiet. He didn't have a good reason. He didn't have a reason that could be justified publicly and that the Washington State community would have accepted. Right. He just didn't want to get it. So he just stayed quiet. I mean, it couldn't have been handled worse by Rolovich from the start. I am of the opinion that there's a good chance, even if his request gets approved, that Washington State will move on from him either during the season or at the end of the season.
John, when I look at my Huskies in the North here, I mean, I say, hey, they're not a very good football team. But then I look at Stanford and Cal and Wazoo and even Oregon and Oregon State, who's barely better than Washington, as we saw last week. I mean, it really still is up for grabs for just about anybody except maybe Cal in the North, isn't it?
It's a good year to be mediocre in the North, right? I mean, if you think back, you know, I mean, forget about last year, but if you think back to the previous, you know, 8 or 9 years, right, between Stanford, Oregon, and Washington, there were some really good champions in the North Division. This year, it certainly doesn't look like it. I mean, I think Oregon probably has the most potential, you know, to hit a high level at some point.
Right.
But right now, with all their injuries, with Joe Moorhead being out, I mean, the Ducks are very vulnerable. We could see a 6-3 division champ, which hasn't happened, you know, in the North in forever. It's been the powerhouse division.
Yeah, it just feels like this conference has a personality disorder. I mean, they can't figure out what they want to be and who they want to be and who the best team is and who wants to finish last. I mean, one week it's Oregon, then it's UCLA, then it's Utah, then it's Arizona State, mm-hmm. then it's Oregon State, and then Oregon State loses to Washington State. It's like just, you know, a freaking game of musical chairs. I mean, in the end, if you had to predict right now who wins the conference, who would that be, and what is your confidence level in that selection?
Confidence low, probably would pick. I would probably pick Oregon, ASU close second. And then at this point, I mean, you know, you're picking and choosing between UCLA and Utah and probably Oregon State and maybe Washington. But I mean, I think Arizona State is playing the best right now, but we've still got a long way to go. And who knows what it'll be like by the middle of November. But yeah, it's, It's the same situation that we have seen for many years since the Huskies went to the playoff, right? There's a lot of parity, and it is fun from week to week,
yeah.
But there is the quality at the top is just not there.
It is totally wild. It's like whoever happens to be playing the best in week 14 might even win the damn thing, right? Just by default. And I'm looking at UCLA, John, and the recipe that they used to beat Arizona on Saturday was the same recipe that Washington has been beaten by twice already this year with Oregon State and Michigan, where those two teams just could not throw the ball to save their life. And it didn't matter because they ran the ball down the Husky throat. And that's what UCLA did to Arizona on Saturday. Can they do it again to UW this weekend?
You know, I can't imagine UW's defense is going to allow 250, 300 yards on the ground. I just don't think that's the case. And I also think that, you know, they're good enough on the back line that they're going to make Dorian Thompson-Robinson throw from the pocket and beat them. You know, kind of the way they've made the air raid try to beat them in the past. You know, deliver the ball from the pocket 5 to 7 yards at a time, play after play for 70 yards and see if you can do it. And I'm not sure they'll be able to do it. UCLA does have a good running game, good offensive line. But, I mean, I think Washington can hold up. To me, the question is going to be the other side, right? UCLA's defense is, especially the front seven, is athletic. It's active, it's aggressive, and they will cause problems for Dylan Morris. To me, you know, I haven't looked at the over-under, but, I mean, I think this is going to be a low-scoring yep. game. It's going to be like 21-17 or something.
I think you're exactly right. Are you leaning? Am I hearing you're leaning Washington here, John?
No, actually.
All right.
I don't know. I'm kind of up in the air on this one. I think it could be like last turnover loses type of deal. I just think both defenses are gonna dominate.
Is this the South Championship game this week at Utah with Arizona State?
Well, if ASU wins, then they will have a one game lead on Utah and UCLA, two game lead on the Bruins if UCLA loses to Washington. Plus, they will have the head to head tiebreaker on both.
Right.
Utah and UCLA,
yeah.
And they will have an easier schedule going forward. So I think that this could very well be it. If ASU finds a way to win, I think that they're going to be tough to catch for anybody else. And it's really a three-team division, right? I mean, we're talking about the North has got probably, you know, more teams that could maybe finish on top. Right now, USC's in the dumpster, and Oregon, Colorado and Arizona are both awful. So it's a three-team race, and ASU is going to have the head-to-head on the other two teams if they win this weekend.
Yeah, well, we'll get your Wendelorian pick of the week, your Wilner's winner, in a matter of minutes, riding a two-game skid. You came close with Arizona, but missed it by that much against UCLA.
Yeah,
I thought in the first half you were going to nail it, by the way, with the way that game was going, and then things kind of got out of control in the second half. But it does bring up a question, because I'm watching Jed Fish, and I don't know, he looks like a fish out of water, to be totally honest with you, down there in Tucson. And there's 12 teams in the conference. How many of them will have new coaches next year, in your mind?
You know, I think it could be up to four or five.
Wow.
I think there could be a ton of turnover. Yeah. So we know there's one. And then I think that there's a pretty good chance both Arizona State and Washington State will have new coaches. I think Herm Edwards, if he isn't forced out because of the NCAA investigations, I think he's just going to hang it up. I mean, he's 4 years. He's going to be almost 70. He doesn't need it. And then I think there's a good chance Washington State will move on from Rolovich. So that's three. And then, you know, there's a chance that between Jonathan Smith and Mario Cristobal and Justin Wilcox, Kyle Whittingham retiring, just somebody, Chip getting fired if it unravels for the Bruins. There's a chance that one other place is going to have an opening,
yeah.
And that would get you to four. I think that's not unreasonable.
It's wild. Well, I'll tell you what, man, we're looking to buy the dip here a little bit, right? We're always big fans of buying the dip when it comes to handicapping. So you started off 4-0. You've lost the last couple weeks. But the Wendelorian does not give up. The Wendelorian continues moving forward. And the Wendelorian will be back here and will avoid a 0-3 record in the last 3 weeks, climb out of the abyss, and get back in the win column. because we believe in the Wendelorian. So let's get it, baby. Wilner's winner. No! Confidence. We need you confident and cocky.
You were just confident on what the UCLA Washington game is going to be like. Go with that.
Yeah, don't you come crying to us, man. Come on. Let's pick ourselves up by the bootstraps and let's get back in the win column, baby. So, Wilner's winner for the week. What do you got, big boy? Give it to us.
I'm going to go with Arizona State to win outright in Salt Lake City. I think that game is a pick, although I haven't checked the last day.
But it is even, yes.
The Sun Devils. Okay, so I just think Arizona State's better right now and probably the best team in the conference.
Yep.
Matches up one of the few teams that can match up with Utah at the line of scrimmage on both sides. Got a veteran quarterback who's not going to get rattled in a tough place to play. I think Arizona State, it'll be close, but I'll take ASU to win outright, even, and I only need them to do it by a point.
That's it.
Based on this line.
They were given two when they opened up, and now it's a pick 'em, so you're getting even some value right now. So, all right, the Wendelorian is back, and he likes ASU to win outright against Utah on Saturday night at 7 o'clock in Salt Lake City. All right, Johnny, great stuff. Enjoy the weekend. We'll talk in a week, man. Appreciate it, pal.
All right, thanks, guys.
You got it. Good stuff from John Wilner with us right there on the radio show. And, you know, the Nick Rolovich story for me, and it's funny, you've been in this business long enough to realize that you only hear from people that disagree with you, right? Like, nobody's going to reach out and text and tweet and
hey,
send
great
you
show today.
Email and
hey,
say,
great
you know,
tweet.
Your take on XYZ was spot on, and my God, are we lucky to have you on the air. Nobody's going to talk
nobody
like that.
Says that.
And they shouldn't. It's not the nature of the beast. But I would just say this, that I don't give a crap if Nick Rolovich gets the vaccine or not. But when you're dragging thousands of people down with you at the same time and you represent more than just yourself, you have to think of more than just yourself. For example, if I were to go on a protest and not eat for a week and a half, but everybody else around me, like my wife, my friends,
can
my family, were not able to eat I'm not eating, guess what I'm doing? I'm sticking a freaking French dip in my pie hole as soon as I can get one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to see other people suffer because of my decision. So if Nick Rolovich is sitting somewhere working by himself, doing whatever he's got to do, and his time and his energy and his career doesn't impact anybody but Nick Rolovich, then you do whatever you god darn want to do. But if I'm a Cougar fan, and I know a lot of Cougar fans think like this, I'm wondering, why are you willing to compromise the integrity of a university? Why are you willing to piss off an entire fan base? Why are you willing to potentially harm the image of hundreds and thousands of people because of your own personal point of view? Why don't you just quit? And then you can go do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't cost anybody else anything. Look, if you want to resign over this, hey, you know what? God bless you. I got respect for that. You don't want to do it. You don't want to do it.
He may
whatever.
End up doing
fine.
That.
But why in the world would you drag everybody else down with you? It's the same thing with Kyrie Irving. Why would you impact Kevin Durant and James Harden's chances of winning a championship just to stick with your little ridiculous philosophy on the vaccine? You don't want to get the vaccine? Fine. But you got to understand that every move you make impacts somebody else if you're the head coach of a college football team. So I don't get it. And to all the people that are asking, well, who are you to decide what should be a religious exemption and what shouldn't? I'm not that person.
No.
The governor is that person. And I just would also ask, if this really is about a religious exemption, then where the hell was that excuse 3 months ago out of Nick Rolovich? I mean, guys, sometimes water is wet and the sky is blue. And guess what? Nick Rolovich is a freaking moron for the way he's handled this whole thing. I know there's a lot of people out there that don't want to hear that and don't like hearing people get called names and criticized on the air, especially people of authority and the head coach of your favorite college football team. But if you can't admit that Nick Rolovich has bungled this thing from the start, then you're just not paying attention.
Well,
or you're Nick Rolovich himself.
I'm glad that 99.9% of everything I read is, and whether they're from Cougars or Huskies or anybody, realize that he has not only made a horrible decision that affects so many people around him, and he preaches team, right? All these coaches preach team first, team first, team first, and he is putting team behind everything right now. And then the constant non-answer answer week after week after week after week is just, it has such a bad look, man.
It's wild. It's just wild. You know, the whole thing is unbelievable. I mean, to be the only guy in college football that has refused it and then to go about approaching it the way he has. I mean, again, if the guy would have come out in August or September and said, you know what, it goes against my beliefs, I can't do it. This is a totally different conversation than what we're having right now. I mean, a lot of people would have raised an eyebrow at that.
Sure. But he could have gotten some sympathy.
Totally different conversation.
Could have gotten some sympathy.
And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, when he's been asked multiple times to explain his position, trust me, I don't like talking about this. I really don't. I'm uncomfortable in some ways even having this conversation. But if you can't see the forest through the trees with this guy, then you're as big a sucker as anybody else. Honestly. The guy sits there and gives non-answers, is vague about everything, and then all of a sudden, when the crap's about to hit the fan, oh, it's a religious thing. I'm sorry, dude. I don't believe you. I don't know what to tell you.
The first time religion came out of his mouth was a week ago.
I don't believe you, man. I don't believe you. 522. We'll get a break. A lot more to get to, including Aaron Levine from Vegas, before the Kraken get going at 6:05 tonight on 950 KJ.